And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Monday, November the 14th, 2016, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are 6 days removed from what was called the most contentious presidential election in the history of presidential elections, and also maybe you can chalk it up now to the most shocking, mispolled, misunderstood election in the history of elections that has given us President-elect Donald J. Trump and has given us riots. I don't want to call them riots. Has given us protests every night in major cities for the last 5 nights. We haven't talked to this lady since before the election, and it's always a pleasure to talk with her. She's a former panelist on the long-running talk show, The McLaughlin Group. She currently writes for the Daily Beast. She is Eleanor Clift. Eleanor, what happened last Tuesday?
Well, I think everybody is still trying to process it, but the short answer is that 5 million fewer people voted in 2016 than in 2012, and proportionately, people in rural areas in a handful of Rust Belt states came out in greater numbers than were expected, and the new American electorate that Democrats had put so much faith in did not show up in quite the numbers that Hillary Clinton needed. And so one side was up a little, the other side was down a little, and that made for a very close election. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but lost three key states that Democrats had won in the last six elections, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And so Democrats are now the party doing the soul searching. When we thought we would be writing about the Republican Party in disarray and whether Trumpism was going to outlive Mr. Trump. Well, Trumpism is now in the White House, and everybody is trying to adjust. And I think I personally am trying to follow President Obama and Hillary Clinton's lead and say, you know, give the guy a chance. Let's see what kind of government he puts together. So far, he seems to be rising to the occasion. His victory speech was very generous, his meeting with President Obama. He's given signals that he's backing off some of the more outrageous aspects of the policies he advocated. But then again, he's bringing someone into the White House, Mr. Bannon from Breitbart News, which suggests that the kind of alt-right support that he had during the campaign is critical to his presidency, and that makes a lot of people nervous.
Eleanor, here's what I didn't get last Tuesday. I certainly understand that pollsters can get it wrong. What I don't understand is how pollsters can get it wrong, how almost 95% of mainstream media got it wrong, to the extent the Democratic Party got it wrong, who apparently had this great ground game and great knowledge of the voters, to the effect where they built a glass ceiling to shatter at Hillary Clinton's what should have been victory party. How did all groups, even Donald Trump's campaign was a little nervous going in that night, how did everybody get it wrong?
Well, I think people do operate from somewhat of a position of wishful thinking, and I think each side is probably guilty of cherry-picking the polls. I also think we did have some significant late-breaking developments. The Comey letters, Hillary Clinton has said it was a double whammy. The first one reminded voters about email just as the early voting was getting underway. And all the prognosticators on television were sort of parroting Republican talking points that Mr. Comey wouldn't have reopened the investigation if it wasn't something significant. So on the Sunday before the election, when he says, oh, turns out nothing to see here, according to Clinton, that simply enraged the Republican side and drove up their turnout. So she lost both ways. And then the Obamacare premiums rising. That didn't get that much attention in the mainstream press, but boy, Republicans made a lot out of that, and I still don't understand why the administration did not put that in some sort of context. because premiums rose every year before the Affordable Care Act, and the overwhelming majority, 85% of those who were going to be hit with higher premiums were going to get compensated with an increased federal subsidy. So the administration didn't really respond to that, and Bill Clinton, of course, made the comment, this is the craziest health system ever, which the Republicans used in a lot of ads. And they didn't do that many ads, but that was gold there at the end for the Republican side. So I think you can find, you know, maybe she should have gone to Wisconsin more. You can find little things they should have done strategically. But I think, you know, we had a law enforcement agency involve itself in a political election. We also had a foreign adversarial government involved and provoking leaks that only damaged one side of the election process. So, I think there's some soul searching for the Democrats to do, because they have lost touch with the working class man, the common man who was once the core of their support. But there are other reasons here that this election was lost by the Democrats.
Eleanor, here's the big thing, and I do understand what you're saying. Hillary Clinton, follow Hillary Clinton and President Obama's lead, that we have to give him a chance. But here I think's the conundrum for a lot of people, and what's sparking these protests is that this was not Romney Obama, this was not George W. Bush Al Gore. This was an election where in the last 3 weeks of the election, we had Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson, John Lewis, Al Franken, and Ted Strickland, and Hugh Downs, former newsman, all on this program saying, if Donald Trump gets it, this is scary for minorities. This is scary that his finger's on the button. He is unfit to be president. I don't remember that language. How can you just the next day, 24 hours later, say, but now maybe that's not the case, let's give him a chance?
I think you have to say that because, first of all, he's backing away from some of his positions. Second of all, he holds the office. And if you want to have some positive impact on him, I don't necessarily think, it depends where you are in the great electorate. I'm supportive of the protests. I hope they go on. Let him know that there are people that disagree with him and that are watching him. But massive resistance, I don't know what form it would take necessarily. I think there are some things he's going to do that Democrats are going to like. The Republican Congress is probably going to give him a nice, big, fat infrastructure spending package, which is going to help with those jobs in the Midwest, and it's something we need to do. President Obama proposed it every year. They wouldn't do it for him. I worry about his attitudes about immigration reform. I'm thinking, though, that there are some Republicans in the Senate that can that don't agree with him, like John McCain and Jeff Flake. They can not fund money for the wall that he wants to build. They don't have to fund powers for an enforcement agency. And, you know, I think Trump will probably be looking for ways to placate his base and deliver enough on some of his promises. But, you know, he's a New Yorker. He's only been a Republican for about 5 minutes. He's not an ideologue. So I don't think we know really entirely what to expect from this man.
Have some questions I want to ask you here, Eleanor, that are mostly just opinion questions as we head into this. First one is, if these protests continue, because there is an awful lot of talk, even more than in the Al Gore year, I have felt, maybe, and that's just social media, about since Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, if a fear arises that this man is going to start doing things that people are fearful of, is there a possibility that people could change their elector votes?
You know, I've heard that periodically over the years. I just don't think that's going to happen. He would have to do something pretty outrageous between now and the time that the electors meet, which is in early December, to really prompt people to, these are people who are filling these roles as electors. enough of them would have to change. And if they did, then what? We would we would elevate Pence into the Oval Office. I mean, he's a real true believer on the right. I'm not so sure he's a much better deal. Or the election would get thrown into the House of Representatives, which is Republican controlled, with each state getting one vote. I don't see how you can do a rerun of this election that would deny him. I think it's fun to explore. I think it's also fun to explore whether President Obama might want to pardon Hillary Clinton, a preemptive pardon, before he leaves office because of some of the crazy talk coming out on the right. I thought Trump backed away from that, too, in his 60 Minutes interview. But Rudy Giuliani, if he's Attorney General, may want to press ahead. But again, that would be Trump's call. So there are so many aspects to this, and for all the coverage that Donald Trump has gotten, we really know so little about him, and he knows so little about government. I don't think he has any idea of all of the responsibility that's about to fall on his shoulders.
For people who saw the 60 Minutes interview, he seemed to be okay with gay marriage. The Hillary Clinton prosecution, he seems to be up in the air on right now. One thing he wasn't up in the air on, and I'm surprised is not getting as much play today, is basically what he considers to be the end of Roe versus Wade, that he thinks it should go back to the states. Is that likely?
I think if they get, they're going to get the fifth vote here, and Anthony Kennedy was kind of been ambivalent on abortions. They probably need two super conservative votes to overturn Roe v. Wade. I don't think that's impossible, and I do think he's right. It would go back to the states, and some people think that that's a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea. But he that's one promise he will have to deliver on, is conservative Supreme Court justices. And I must say, from the Republican point of view, Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, now looks like pure genius that he refused to go ahead and give Merrick Garland a vote. On the other hand, you know, if you really want to dream, along with the electors changing their minds, you can imagine Donald Trump saying, okay, it's unconstitutional to have withheld a vote and a hearing for this man. Let's go ahead and have a vote in the lame duck. I think Merrick Garland would go down, but that would be seen as a gesture towards the other side. I don't think he's going to do it. But conceivably, if you even want to take that further, that he would give his support to Merrick Garland. I mean, if he really wanted to build bridges and unify the country, those are the kinds of things that he would do. I think that's a bridge too far for him.
Where does President Obama go post January 20th?
Well, he and his wife have rented a home in Washington in the Calorama section. Their daughter, youngest daughter, has two more years of high school. So getting ready to write his memoir. I'm sure she'll write a memoir, and his My Brother's Keeper program that he cares about. Be interesting to see if he gets at all involved in building or rebuilding the Democratic Party. For a variety of reasons, and he does bear some blame, the party that he inherited going into the White House was a lot stronger than the one he's leaving behind. He's never been much of a sort of a party man. He was these last few weeks with Hillary Clinton because he saw his own legacy at stake. It would be nice to see him get involved in the rebuilding of the party. I'm not so sure that that will be top on his list, however.
Where does Hillary Clinton go from here?
The Global Foundation. They do wonderful work, and there's one particular element of it. It's called Too Small to Fail Preschool Education, which is dealing with women and babies and all of that. And that's been the cause of her life forever. She will have no shortage of things to do, and many areas will be regarded very positively, because we know there's a rocky road ahead for President Trump, and so Hillary Clinton will probably be a safe harbor harbor for people to retreat to and cry on her shoulder over the next 4 years. But I would like to see if she, you know, I talked about Obama getting involved in rebuilding the party. It would be nice if she did, too, specifically encouraging other women to run.
You know, Eleanor, something very interesting popped in the other night. And boy, this is just Monday morning quarterback stuff. But this is the woman who, without question, people, whether you were Democrat or Republican, felt was going to be the first woman president. I don't even think there's anybody else on the radar who people have thought came this close. Now, here's the thing of it. She came close. It was a bizarre election, a bizarre year. Hillary Clinton, at the end of this presidential cycle, will be 73 years old. Bernie Sanders was 74 when he ran for the nomination. Donald Trump will be 74 when he runs for re-election, if he does, whatever happens between now and then. Is it absolutely impossible that she gives up on the dream of her life of being the first female? I understand she's wounded now, but she would be younger than both of them.
Yeah, but she's done it twice with heartbreaking losses, and you'd have to have the party really clamoring for her to run. Otherwise, she would be, you know, looking like an also-ran, trying to relive past glory. So, and I just don't see the party clamoring for a third Hillary Clinton run. I think they've got to find, new blood and new energy, and I think that's what a lot of the rethinking that's going to go on in the party. That's what it will be about.
I think their problem will be is that they, and I heard it this morning, they don't have a good bench. And to me, that could be, because Bernie Sanders will be 78 by that point, forget that. And Elizabeth Warren, I just, no matter how progressive the party becomes, I just don't think it will be her. Hillary Clinton will always be seen, aside from the fact that she was a first lady, she's always going to be seen as a states person. And if you got nobody else, and Donald Trump's doing such a horrible job, to me, this was a yearning for Hillary to want to be the first female president. It's only going to happen once. It wouldn't shock me, but I remember when she lost to Obama, she went to the Secretary of State. Everybody said it's going to be 8 years. Mm-hmm. She'll be almost 70 years old. There was a lot of doubt then that she would run again.
Yeah. Well, never say never. We've seen something extraordinary with Trump. My bigger concern is that Trump is now, in a sense, spoiled the country in thinking that this is about entertainment. I think it was Michael Moore who said the Democrats should run Tom Hanks or Oprah Winfrey. You need to have a big personality, probably to go up against him. But you know, we don't know what his presidency is going to be like. I mean, I don't know whether I'm more concerned that he could be successful or that he will be a big failure. If he's very successful, the Democrats could be out of power for a good long while. If he's a disaster, then you know Democrats really need to find their backbone and organize and get candidates out there. So it could be a really reinvigorating time for the Democratic Party. We're in such a different conversation now than we thought we would have been just 10 days ago. So I take your point. Almost anything is possible.
And she did win the popular vote. That's very interesting.
I know.
Two more questions, quick questions here. For everybody who was absolutely driven to fear, and by both parties, from what Donald Trump said and from what the Democrats implied he would do with Muslim Americans, women, people of color, any minority really, do they have to fear? Is it a scary time?
I think that probably because Trump and his policies and everything was so demonized and the cable news, everything was so hyped, I think that I understand the fear, and I think it's justified. But I do think if he does embark on any of the most draconian policies he has suggested, that there will be a very strong pushback, a pushback that will make us proud to be Americans.
And final question: as we kind of bail toward the end of the year here, 2016. I'm going to do the old John McLaughlin line here because so much is up in the air now. Will Attorney General go to Rudy Giuliani? Is Chris Christie going to get a position? Will Ben Carson be Surgeon General? What's going to happen? Is Hillary Clinton going to do something? Is Barack Obama going to do something? What is the most shocking rumor? What don't we know, Eleanor, as we head into these tumultuous few months?
Oh, there is so much we don't know, or we wouldn't be having this conversation at all. I think everybody's crystal ball has been shattered. The glass ceiling didn't get shattered, but the crystal balls are gone. I think Rudy Giuliani ends up in the administration. I hear he could even be Secretary of State, if you can imagine that.
Well, let me face the question this way, because I think this is an important one, because you brought it up earlier. Will Obama pardon Hillary? Will Trump prosecute? One kind of runs against the other.
Yeah. I initially thought it was ludicrous to think that that President Obama would feel obliged to pardon Hillary Clinton. But the more I hear the conversation from the other side, I'm not sure that Donald Trump can put that back in the box. So I still think it's likely that there will be no pardon and there'll be no prosecution. And if that's the case, that would be a very good sign that this administration won't be as crazy as we all worry it might be.
Eleanor Clift, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope we get to do it again before the year is out, maybe as things clear up a little bit.
All right.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sure.
Eleanor Clift, and now this is the first time really since the election that Terry Tackett and I have got to sit down here and just open up the phone lines and talk about what happened. 740-383-9944 is the number. What do you think about Eleanor Clift had to say? Well, Terry, this is the first time we've talked since we know which way you were voting last Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
It happened. Yeah. Okay. Give us your thoughts for the first time. Go ahead.
Well, I respect the office of the President of the United States, but I'm shocked. I guess more than anything that...
Shocked at what?
Well, I'm shocked at... Actually, at the number that... I knew the number was high, but I didn't know... excuse me. I didn't know it was quite that high of what Eleanor just said. I didn't realize there was 5 million less people that voted. I was surprised by the voter turnout that it wasn't very high.
When the election was going down last week, and North Carolina and Florida and Ohio all went for Donald, and it looked like Michigan and Pennsylvania were going that way. Mm. What were you thinking?
I was just thinking, oh boy, we're in trouble.
you in trouble. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on anything we're saying here. I don't know. You know, I'm certainly in the boat with Hillary and Obama here because I do think you have to support him. You got to give him a chance. But these protests are starting to... The continuation of them and the fervence of them, I don't know. I don't know what that means. There's a very interesting thing going on in this country right now. You can bet on that. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. It's been a while.
Here we are. Now we're in the driver's seat.
I heard you the other day, but I was on my way to Columbus, and after I hit Waldo, there was no more you guys. You know, I think Hillary has a better chance of getting pregnant than being president.
You think?
I think it's done, and I can't imagine them wanting to run her again.
Well, I'll tell you something. Here's something that's interesting, and people I know will hate to do this because there is a fervence against Hillary Clinton, but for everything that we gave Hillary Clinton, you know, first lady to ever run for public office, first lady to ever be Secretary of State, first lady, period, to ever get the nomination of a major party for president, she also is the first woman ever to win the popular vote for president.
That means nothing.
I guess, you know what, the fact that Donald Trump win means nothing. Let's just go back to where we were before.
No, the lesser of two
means nothing.
The polls, if you can believe them, said that 53% of white women voted for Trump.
Undereducated white women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to be really dumb there.
Now here's the thing, and this is, I don't like this poll, because to be honest with you, I
went to college, and I don't sit around here, and I have a degree, and I don't think that anybody, I don't go to somebody. Here's the problem. Let me explain this to you about the whole college thing. Here's what I noticed, because it became such an issue in this election. When I go to somebody, and I don't walk around to people saying, I have a college degree, but as soon as people know that, there is a much more anger from people who don't have one than people who do. I don't look at somebody and say, I wonder if they have a degree. They must be dumber than I am. But you know what I do notice? People who don't have a degree seem to feel this superiority that people who do have a degree lord over them. I don't know. What do they think the people who have a degree think of them? Just think they're dumb?
I'm sure they're not. You know, it's a different time. It depends on the age group. You know, in my day, everybody didn't go to college. The reasons are basically money, and they need to get a job and work. They didn't have time to go down there, and it seems silly to even consider degrees because of the way the colleges were run. I remember when, what's his name, the funny guy with the glasses, Mr. Peepers, was head down there. He wanted this college to be for people to sit around and all the great events and everything without giving them the ability to make money. You know, if you had a, what are your degrees in, by the way, if you don't mind my
asking? Education.
Education, okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the ones that are going down there on something that will never make them a cent, they were just people that had the ability not to work and probably the desire not to work. But I don't, you're assuming that people are automatically jealous of you because you got a degree.
No.
Not the fact at all.
I hear them say that. Their response is that college makes people think different. Because I don't have a degree doesn't mean I'm a dummy. That's what they say it. I don't say it to them. They say it.
A lot of very bright people are not college guys.
I agree. I'm just saying I don't understand why the people who didn't go to college seem to have that anger toward people who did go to college. Because I can guarantee you, as somebody who did, I never have sat there and thought, oh, I don't even ask people if they do. I can never remember in my life asking if somebody went to college. So I'm certainly not basing that on their brain power. But I know that I have had people come up, and I've had, I can guarantee you, I can think of 10 prominent people just in Marion County who I've heard say the phrase, you know, when people found out I didn't go to college, they looked at me in a different way. Just because I didn't go to college doesn't mean I don't know anything. Well, I never said just because I went to college means I know everything. So I don't understand that sense of inferiority that they have. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Well, you're only speaking for a couple of people you talked to.
You rationalized that, it in this conversation. You said there were people of my generation who did not have the money, did not have the opportunity to go. They were out working. That's a rationalization for not going. Who cares if you didn't go? Does it make you dumber? Does it make you stupider? Why even rationalize it? I don't rationalize why I went. And there were people in your generation who did go to college. I can show you a lot of 80-year-old retired teachers.
Yeah. But again, it's a very different view. You know, I think I was a little... you know, I don't know what these people are trying to do with these displays of anger.
They're telling you we don't like Trump. It's not too hard to figure out to me.
If Trump had lost and his people pulled the same thing, you would hear all kinds of nonsense. Oh, my gosh, they shouldn't be doing that. They should, you know, follow their, you know, the way people voted.
You know, as long as they do it peaceably, I don't care. What was the problem with Trump was not that he might incite protests. The problem with Trump was, is he said he would not accept the outcome. Hillary accepted the outcome the night of the election, and she didn't have to.
Well, it means nothing. The vote's the vote. I mean, if they refuse to accept it, that doesn't alter a thing.
Well, it was because Donald Trump was already filing lawsuits the afternoon of the election.
Conjunction
to have recount, automatic recounts done in states. Now, what did that tell you?
Donald will never pass up a chance to take someone to court.
I hope that's not true because he will soon be president. Well, I hope that's not true.
Well, I know people still will have him going to court.
You know what I'm in? Well, that's another thing. And you know what? It's over now. And as I said before, as I said many times, I said this on every show last week, I'm behind the president because that's the way this goes. But this is also a news organization. And there have been some news facts that have come out since this that should be very worrisome to people. And one of them being that the day after the election, one of the high Russian officials came out and said, oh, yeah, we were back channeling with Trump the entire time. Oh, no problem, though.
You know, the danger here of making a big deal out of that, and my daughter is very much, she was a Bernie supporter. This is the one in Jersey. You know, working for a university there, obviously she's going to be a little more liberal. But she's not afraid of Trump as much as she is of Pence.
Well,
Pence is the hero of the homophobic, the stuff that he'd propose, and she is much more worried that, say, somebody finds a way to get Trump disqualified. Well, he would be the president then. And so if you,
people should have thought that through before the election. Your time for that is over. Just like I'm telling you right now, hope he does good. I hope he, because we are Americans. He's going to be the
someone
American
who's on CNN, they had a thing that someone has really been catching it recently is Oprah Winfrey. And the reason she is, you know, she saw the thing with the two of them getting together, and she thought it went very well. And she says, you know, we shouldn't automatically assume that it's going to be a bad thing.
I hope not.
And she got all kinds of, you know, oh my God, you're betraying your own people and stuff like that.
Well, that's because people are angry. And they're angry because of things this man said. And I know it didn't mean anything to anybody during the election, apparently. But you know what? There were just things he did and just things he said that people are never going to get over. And, you know, it's their right to go out and protest. And it's also Oprah Winfrey's right to say, I hope he succeeds. And Hillary Clinton's right to say, I hope he succeeds. Barack Obama's right to say, I hope he succeeds. My right to say that, hey, I want the president to succeed because if he doesn't, we all fail. But it's also their right to be angry that this guy who said, you know, when I don't remember the last time when somebody was elected president that the KKK had a celebration parade.
Well, that's up to them.
It's up to them, that's right. Why,
yeah.
Why though?
Oh, they probably thought that he's going to fall in lockstep with them, and my bet is he's not. I assume you watched the 60 Minutes.
I did see that, yes.
He came off very well on that.
I think he came
not,
off...
Not the mad idiot that we all thought he was.
Well, I think what he did was, I think he basically, for everybody who supported him, made them angry. Because he said, first of all, this whole... I mean, how long did we sit on this program and talk about abortion? And he basically said, even if I try to overturn Roe versus Wade, I'm going to give it to the states. There's no abolishment of that coming, even right. Under President Trump. And he also said, I will not touch gay marriage. That was another big issue
exactly.
For people. And he also said that I'm not sure if I'm going to prosecute Hillary Clinton. I like her. I don't want to put her through that. Boy, oh boy, his people who voted for him on these things might have a problem with that.
I don't know if they voted strictly on those.
What did they vote for?
It's just a matter of, I feel most of us a dislike for Hillary. More than a, you know.
You know, I don't feel that way, and I'll tell you why, because 17 other Republicans, did they just dislike them too?
No. That was a fluke. it was an obvious fluke there.
If the country voted against
Hillary, he was able to touch a nerve on a lot of the...
Right, but if the country disliked Hillary, if it was a condemnation on Hillary Clinton, how did she win the popular vote?
From California.
California is a state, last time I checked.
And that was by far her biggest margin, by a ton.
But what was his biggest margin? He only won Texas by 8. He should have won that by far more votes. If you say that Donald Trump's president because of a hate for Hillary Clinton, more people in this country...
I'd say that was a big factor. Plus, Hillary did some really dumb things. One of which was talk about the deplorable people. Even if you weren't, and you're going to be insulted when somebody assumes that because you're not one of her boys, that you're automatically prejudiced against everything in the world and all that. To paraphrase all the Supreme Court judge that died after the the deal with Gore, he said, "Get over it. It's over. Forget it. Nothing's going to happen different." Well, all the nonsense going out, and particularly the ones that were the floaters, the people that go from protest to protest, basically so they can break windows. And after a time, you got to say, that's what we've got. We have to live with it. I may not agree with it, but it's over.
Well, I understand your point fully, but I guess what I'm trying to grasp is that, like, you were saying how Trump was like the lesser of two evils. Now where does he fall in the equation here?
He's our president. My son is very happy. He lives in Texas, and his job, he works on construction. I'm talking about a guy out in the field. He's a guy that's an engineer for construction. In fact, he's got professional engineer license in 30 states. And he said as soon as Trump was elected, their business, all of a sudden, they got zoomed with business. He said normally he gets four or five projects to appraise every week.
But did he know that you didn't support Donald Trump?
Because
you said you were voting for a third part, or third
candidate. And I did, as four other million people did, yes.
But much, much lower than they thought. They thought they would get 10%. They did not.
Yeah, that is a good old pollers are a sure thing.
Well, that's interesting, because what after this election has proven to me what I was trying to say leading up to it is there was a far greater dislike in Ohio, and certainly the polls turned that out here, and this is where we sit and take the phone calls from, against Hillary Clinton. That even though people said it was lesser of two evils, even though they said they disliked both of them, they really didn't. They might not have voted for him, but in the end, they really did like him better. And people are going to write in the history books, just like I always said about Obama, that people are going to write that after he was elected, people were talking about watermelon patches at the White House instead of rose gardens and those sort of things, and questioning his legitimacy. And people will look back at this election, as all scholars do, and they don't do it at the time, and they're going to say that the United States elected a man who did what he did, and we don't have to cover that base again, but whether or not people like it, he did it. And, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, and people should take that approach. If it works out bad, something will happen. I mean, we're all still going to hopefully wake up the next day, and it won't be a big deal.
Well, I don't know. Depends on what he does. It might be a big deal for the people who possibly could be deported.
Yep. But those were people who had been here illegally for years and got by with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Thank you.
Sure.
Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What do you think, Terry?
You can already see the demeanor changing a little bit, like right there, saying...
Well, I always believed, certainly in Ohio, he won Ohio by a large margin. He won Marion, Ohio by a large margin.
This certainly was pro-Trump. You didn't have to drive up and down the streets and see the signs long to figure out that this was pro-Trump. Now, the question you've got to ask yourself is why? Why was it pro-Trump? Because I'm still trying to figure out. I don't mind that people voted for him. I don't mind that he's the president, because that's how democracy
right.
works.
Sure, sure.
But what I'm still, even after the election, I still can't figure out what did you like?
You know what was so interesting was even I was watching coverage the next day after the election, and they'd asked some a gentleman CNN had interviewed somebody, and they asked him, kind of posed the same question to him, and said, you know, why did you vote for Donald? And immediately the tone went to, well, Hillary. And the lady even had to stop and say, no, that's not what I asked you.
Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I just want to point this out. These are highlights from the 60 Minutes interview last night. What Donald Trump said in his own words. He might be open to a fence instead of a wall. So that's something new. He will begin deportations. Want to deport more than 11 million immigrants living without documentation in America. He may not seek to put Clinton in jail. He told supporters to stop the slurs and protesters not to fear. Okay. He defended having lobbyists on his team. Now, this was no lobbyist man, right?
Right.
But apparently that's okay.
But it's okay to have
Yeah. He defended it.
Okay.
He said abortion rights may one day be up to the states.
I heard you talking about that earlier.
Now, that was a big thing cool. that people thought he was going to overturn Roe versus Wade. He's not.
No.
He might try to stop it from being a federal law, but the state would still have the right to carry it out. I would think that would make a lot of people angry.
Absolutely.
Who were on the idea
almost
that
almost
kind of
got duped a little bit on that one, I think. You know?
Gay marriage will stay. There's another one. Not even any ambiguity on that one. His Twitter account may keep going. He won't take many vacations or a salary. Okay. Those are some revelations from out of his own mouth out of the 60 Minutes interview last night. But on the gay marriage one, if you were voting on those issues, if you were voting on overturning gay marriage, if you were voting on getting rid of abortions, surprise, surprise, surprise. Who's the guy who used to say that on the show? Surprise, surprise,
was
surprise.
Was that Gomer?
Gomer. Well, surprise, surprise,
Scott,
surprise.
One thing, and I don't know, maybe did you talk about, did he mention like overturning Obamacare? I know that's been a big...
Well, that was what he did say about that was that he liked some aspects of it, like pre-existing conditions and being able to stay on your parents' health care till you're 26. So apparently that might not even be a wash.
Okay.
So,
because those were his main areas. Wasn't that the main stuff that he was, his platform that he was?
What did you vote for here, folks? What did you vote for?
Yeah.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we'll talk more about this next hour. But, I'm only talking about the abortion thing because we spent so much time on that for 2 weeks that this was about abortions, that Hillary Clinton was pro-choice and that was a reason to vote against her. Well, I'm not exactly sure where Donald is pro-life. Because wouldn't a pro-life person try to completely overturn it?
Absolutely. He would not even hesitate to say that he was, you know, but now it seems like he's given an option, you know, of
well, he's saying it possibly will not be a federal law anymore, but he's going to turn it over to the
states. Yeah.
And you can guarantee, we just talked about California. California's not going to overturn that law. New Jersey's not. Maine's not. Pennsylvania's not. Vermont's not. New York is not.
Even though those states supported him, do you think they'll still keep their same mentality as far as that goes?
Well, no, because people will turn out to vote for issues. If it indeed was again.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Let's say there's just two states. Let's say New York and California say, we're not going to overturn it. So if you get pregnant in Ohio, what are you going to do? Go to New York or California.
Yeah.
What have you stopped?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not quite sure about that one for people who argued it for so long.
Uh-huh.
And gay marriage, he has no problem with it.
Yeah.
Should he talk to his vice president about that? Because they seem to have a little differing point of view on that.
That might be the wrong guy to talk to about it because he almost lost about $25 or $30 million for a state's economy by...
Do you think Hillary Clinton's a goner? Lame duck?
You know, I don't. I think she's going to lay low here for a while, but I think she's going to resurface.
She's a tough lady.
She is. She is. She's a tough lady. And as you were talking to Eleanor there, I mean, 73, she's not really that old.
Well, before we wrap up this hour, we're coming back next hour. With 20 seconds left, like one of our callers said there, Hillary won the popular vote. Big deal. Is that right?
I would think it's a huge deal that she won the popular vote. I mean, that tells me that all the Americans actually...
The majority of Americans. Coming back next hour. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary Ian Pat Cooper.
Listen to me. That's